I want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to our morning Bible study at Waldo Baptist Church. Before we begin the study this morning, I'd like to have prayer for the Jeannie Forthman family. Jeannie passed away. And really, it's not such a bad thing. She's with Roger, and she's whole and well and not suffering, and that's a good thing. Sweet lady, always has been. Known her ever since she's a little girl. And that whole family, we've been close to them. But let's remember her family in our prayer. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of Jesus, and we lift up Jeannie Forthman's family to you. We thank you that she is with you, that she was saved and born again. And we know she's a child of God, and therefore she's in your comfort and in your grace and in your presence. And we thank you for that. But we pray you would comfort the family and bless and watch over them. And Lord, that you would hold them close to you. Help them to always have these precious memories of Jeannie and Roger and the family and what they all mean to them and to their friends and the good years that they had together for so long. So bless that family and comfort and watch over them and be with our sick and hurting and watch over them. If it be your will, heal their bodies and raise them up to health and strength. And bless the Bible study to follow, and we pray that you might guide us and lead us in all that we do. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. All right, we're in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Now, next Sunday morning, I'm going to finish this study we're on right now in 1 Thessalonians, and next Sunday morning we will begin in 2 Thessalonians on a study on the coming Antichrist, and so we'll start that next Sunday, but this Sunday we're finishing up. I didn't get through this, I guess last Sunday night was the last time I taught on this, but we're in 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, and he's giving instructions to the church. And remember, like I said before, this is a young church. They've just been in existence for about 2.5 years, and so many of the Christians in this church, that's the maturity they have. And so he's giving them one instruction after another as Paul writes to this church at Thessalonica. And I won't go through all this because we've already read a lot of it before, but I'll start up here in the 14th verse of the 5th chapter. And he says, "We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone." So he's just giving them general instruction. If you think about it, this church is likely 2.5 years old, so he's trying to get them to understand how they're to function together in the community of Christ as a church. And all these things he's telling them are very important and crucial to the operation of the church and the way that it goes on. In verse 15, he says, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Then he says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." He's giving them very good instructions. Now, this is a verse that we were studying about last Sunday. Did I teach Wednesday night? I can't keep up with it. I've taught Wednesday nights and Sundays and Sunday nights. But this is what I look. Verse 19, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." He said, do not put out the Spirit's fire. There's two things that he says here, or three, that are really important. And what we're mainly studying about this morning is where he said, don't quench the Spirit, or don't put out the Spirit's fire. That means don't quench the Holy Spirit. We said when there's statements in Scripture. One is, do not quench the Holy Spirit. The other is, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And we said quench is what the Christian does to the Spirit, and grieve is what happens when the Christian quenches the Spirit. The Holy Spirit grieves because the Christian is shutting down, quenching the Holy Spirit. And so we looked at various ways, and we're going to continue that and close that out this morning, hopefully. How does that happen? How is it that Christ lives in me in the person of the Holy Spirit, and his whole work in my life, and we'll look at some scriptures, is to change me, to grow me, to make me each day more like Christ Jesus in sanctification. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to teach me, to guide me, to lead me, to convict me, to train me, all these things that is going on in your life, that we would say that God is doing the work of God in you to make you like Christ Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in you today. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in me today. Well, how is it that we hinder that? How is it that we hinder that and cause the Spirit, who is a person? You see, God has chosen to reveal himself to us in three persons: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-existent, always has been, always will be. And so how is it that we can quench this Spirit? And I want to go back and read two scriptures to you that's found in the Gospel of John, because the importance of this is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because in the 14th chapter and the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, he tells us that how important it is that he goes away, because the Paraclete, the Counselor, is coming, the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 of the 14th chapter: all this I have spoken while still with you. In other words, I'm leaving now. I've spoken all these words. I've taught you. I've tried to help you. I've trained you. I've given you the word from the Father. But now, while I was still with you. In other words, I'm not going to be with you now. And this is what he's saying. But, and this is the conjunction, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, that's tremendously important when we see that. Now, if you go over to chapter 16 and you look at verse 7 of chapter 16, he says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good I am going away. Now, what did he mean by that? It is for your good that I am going away. Well, this is why he's saying that. As the Son of God, he can only be in one place at one time. As the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at once. So it is for your good. When I go back to the Father, the Holy Spirit that can be every place at once is going to come and live in you. He's going to indwell you. And wherever you are, that's where he's going to be. And so that's why he says it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt or sin in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And then he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. In other words, but what's going to happen? When the Holy Spirit comes to you and dwells you, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He's already said in chapter 14, He will teach us all things. Now here He says He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Now look at this. He will bring glory to me. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So as then what we see is, as the Holy Spirit works within me or you, whoever that we are, as He changes us, as He teaches us, as He guides us, and as He convicts us, because much of His work in us is to convict us of sin in our life, even as a Christian. And when He does this, and we change more into the image of Jesus Christ, He is greatly glorified. Christ is glorified through the Holy Spirit's work in us, changing us and making us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now then, going back to 1 Thessalonians, and what he's talking about, do not quench the Holy Spirit. The last thing we said when we was teaching on this was one way we can quench the Holy Spirit is by not accepting difficulties in our life. And what I mean by that, not accepting, is not understanding that there's a purpose for even that in our life. If in your life and my life, we will face difficulties. We all of us. We know that. We know that. Well, anytime there's difficulties that come into our life, and I don't mean like difficulties like, oh, I didn't have the right clothes to wear today. I mean like trials, tribulations, things in your life that really wear on you. Sickness, loss of health, loss of finances, loss of loved ones, loss of friends, all these things that happen in our life that are traumatic to us, that makes it difficult for us. There's two things that can happen. It'll either make you bitter or it'll make you better. Those are the two things that can happen. If we look at it and say, God, if you really love me, you wouldn't let this happen to me. If you really love me, you wouldn't let this happen to me. And I'm not going to serve you anymore. I can't handle this. That's one way. That's one reaction we can have. And if we do that, then we've quenched the work of the fire of the Holy Spirit in us. God cannot accomplish through us what He wants to accomplish if we're not following the right path of obedience to Him. And so, but if we take the Scriptures, Romans chapter 8, God makes all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. If we look at that, we take that, and we say, God, I don't understand why I'm going through this. But I know because of the cross, and I know because of what You've already done for me, and I know because of what You've already brought me through, You have a purpose for this. So I'm going to go through this loving You, trusting You, and believing that there is a good purpose that You have for this in my life. And I need your help to sustain my faith as I go through this. That's the approach we have to have. And then we have placed ourselves in a position where the Holy Spirit can bring us through the difficulties in our life, can actually make us stronger than we were as we go through it, and especially after we've gone through it, can make us stronger than we were before this ever happened in our life. And that is the goal that we have. Why do you think God give us all these scriptures? Why do you think Jesus looked and said, in this world you will have trouble? He wasn't lying. He wasn't lying. He was telling us, we live in a broken, fallen world. And in a broken, fallen world, you're going to have sickness, you're going to have loss, you're going to have loneliness, you're going to have all these things that come in this broken world that we live in today. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so it is our faith in the Word of God, the purpose of God, and the love of God that helps us to overcome. Well, you say, well, then how does the Holy Spirit help me overcome that? Well, because He's already taught me these things in my life. He's already guided me through all these other experiences in my life. And so what I can do, I can trust God and I can learn from what the Holy Spirit has already taught me and what the Holy Spirit has already brought me through. And instead of getting bitter, I can grow from what I'm going through and become even more like Christ on the other side than I was before it happened. So this is the way the Holy Spirit works in us. And when we do not quench the Holy Spirit by becoming bitter, angry, regretful, what did He just tell us here in Scripture? In all circumstances, give thanks. That's hard to do. So this is the way I look at it. God, I'm not thankful I'm sick. But God, I'm thankful that when you get me through this, I will be stronger than I was before. Believe me, when I'm sick, I'm sick. Just ask my wife. All you wives say us husbands are sicker than anybody else anyway. When I'm sick, I don't go to God and say, God, you know I am so thankful I feel this terrible. I don't do that. That'd be a lie. But I can go to God and I can say, God, I am thankful that you are with me in my sickness. And I know that you'll bring me through this like you have everything else. So I'm trusting in you and help me to be strengthened through what I'm going through now. And so this is when we talk about this can go one way or another, but we can quench the Holy Spirit when we say, Satan comes, sets on our shoulder, and he says, if God really loved you, he wouldn't let you be going through this. Happens every time, every time, every time. If God really loved you, then this wouldn't be happening to you. Well, look what happened to Christ. Anyway, that's another way. And then, we read over there that the Spirit of God is going to teach us, He's going to guide us, and when He does that, and we allow Him to do that in our life, when the Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ, He shows them to us, He reveals them to us, He teaches them to us, and we put them to practice in our life, Christ is glorified. That is how Christ is glorified in each of us in our lives. In Galatians, just let me read this scripture to you. Galatians 4:19, Paul says, he was speaking to the church at Galatia, and he said, I have pain until Christ is fully formed in you. I have pain until Christ is fully formed in you. In other words, what he was praying for was for Christ to be really fully formed and for them to become completely mature in Jesus Christ. This was the goal. This was the goal. This is what he prayed for. This is what he hoped for in each of them. And that's the same way with us. That's the same way with us, that we would become completely mature in Jesus Christ. That's what, for the whole reason, the Holy Spirit is given to us to glorify us in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we see when we look at the scripture here. Let me go to my next page here. Okay. Now I'm good. Maybe. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is what it's all about, right here. Okay. And we, Paul's writing the church at Corinth, so he's talking about believers, talking about the church at Corinth. And we who with unveiled faces, when Moses come down off the mount with Ten Commandments, he had been in the presence of the Lord. And his face glowed with the glory of God. So they put a veil over his face because his face glowed with such brightness from the glory of God. So here he says, we have taken the veil off our faces. We with unveiled faces, he says, we with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. The Lord's glory. This is what is happening. I remember, gosh, Joy Clankey's wife's name. Millie, thank you. Millie Clankey had colon cancer. Last stages. She's dying. There's a tube that goes down her throat into her stomach, and it's pumping out the awfulest looking stuff you ever seen. Okay. And I'm going in to visit her, as I did often. And as I'm driving over there, I'm thinking, God, what can I say? What can I do to help Millie? Okay. And so I get to the hospital. I walk up to her room, go in the door, and there she is, laying there in bed with this tube run down her throat with all this. And I'm thinking about, okay, what can I say to help this woman? And she looks at me, and she says, Jack Russell, what have you done for God today? I'm thinking, I've got to help her. She looks at me right in the eye and says, Jack Russell, what have you done for God today? And I'm thinking, ooh. You see, I'm thinking, she's down here, I'm up here. Oh, no, she's up here, I'm down here. I mean, she's closer to God than I am. And so, what I do, what happens is, I go in wanting to help her, okay? Really, really, because I love this woman. I mean, she's precious. I walk out seeing the glory of God in her. So I walk in thinking, how can I help her? When I walk out, I have been in the presence of God. I have seen the glory of God shining in this woman's face that's about to die. And so I come in here, but I walk out up here. because the veil is pulled away, and what I have just experienced and what I have just seen is a woman that is fully being transformed into the glory of God, and I have experienced the glory of God in her. And so when I walk out, instead of me lifting her up, I walk out higher than when I went in, because I have looked in her face and I have seen the glory of God and I have seen the majesty of God right here before me. Because she was not bitter, she was better. And that's what I saw, and that's what I experienced when I went in. And so, you see, it is through trials, it is through tribulation, it is through this that the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us and leads us and then pulls the veil away from our face, that the glory of God shines out to the world. The glory of God shines out to the world through us, and Christ receives the glory. And I'm sure when I walked in that hospital room and met with Millie that day, Christ was glorified. You see, this is how it works. This is how the Holy Spirit works through each of us. Through each of us. And so this scripture is tremendous here. I'll read it again. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. You see, she's got more glory now than she had a year ago, 6 months ago. The glory is just increasing. Increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Who is the Spirit. So this is what we're studying about here, that we're being transformed. It says in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, be transforming how? From glory to glory to glory to glory. Because this is how God and Christ Jesus are glorified in you. God wants to shine through you. God wants to shine through me. He wants to shine his glory through you and through me. He wants you, when somebody sees you, meets you, looks at you, and say, there's something different about that person. And they don't mean you're just odd either. They mean they saw something in you that was not natural. That was not natural. Okay. So, okay. We go on from there then. Okay. So, we've gone over three things now I want to reiterate to you. Number one, he illuminates the Word to us. He illuminates the Word. The Word becomes alive to us. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word. Number two, he wants to draw us into intimacy with the Father. The Holy Spirit's work is to draw us into intimacy with the Father. All right. Number three, he wants to reveal Christ to you in blazing glory. He wants to reveal Christ to you in blazing glory. So you reflect the glory of God. You reflect the glory of God in you. And then he wants to guide you into God's will. He wants to guide you in God's will. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. In other words, what Jeremiah is saying here, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. He's saying, I know, Lord, I can't guide myself. I can't take the right steps. It's not in me to do that. What's he talking about? He realizes he's still in the flesh. He realizes he's still... Listen, the flesh cannot and will not respond to God. Only the spirit and the soul. The spirit. And so he says, I can't go where I need to go unless you guide me in the right steps. You're going to have to guide me. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to teach me because I can't do it. That's a great place to be. That's a great place to be. When you get to the point you say, you know, Lord, I think I got this. I don't think I need you. You're in an awful place. When you get to the place you say, God, I know I can't do this, but I know you can. So guide me, lead me in the right truth, in the right direction, in the right steps. Then you're in the right place. Then you're in the place that God wants you to be, because now you're in a place that you don't even have to step because He can carry you. He can carry you. And so He wants to guide us. He wants us to guide us in the right steps according to God's will. According to God's will. You can't be more in God's will than when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, than when you're allowing the Spirit to lead you, direct you, and guide you in your life and in what you're doing. And that bell rang, didn't it? Yeah, okay. Here's another scripture. Let me just give this scripture to you. Psalms 143:10. Psalms 143:10. This is what it says. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Let your good spirit lead me in the path I should follow. That's what level ground means. Your spirit lead me in the path I should follow. And I'm going to quit right there with this teaching, because there's other things too, but we're going to start on this next teaching next Sunday. But let me say this. There are times in my life as a pastor, most times in my life, as a pastor, where I have not known what to do. And when I did not know what to do, I was in the best place I could be. Because I did not rely on myself. You see, if you come to the place where you're at the end of yourself, and you're just simply fully trusting in God, that's the strongest place you'll ever be. That's the best place you'll ever be. There's circumstances in my life that I've come into as a pastor that I had never been in before, that I would simply pray, and God never failed to give me direction. Never, ever fail. And the joy that I would receive when I would just simply be obedient was to see how God would work, and how God would work in such a way to change people's lives, to work through every circumstance, to make everything right. To look at it through human eyes, I would say, I don't know how this can work out. And after you've been through it, just simply trusting Him and doing simply what he said, you say, I don't know how this could not have worked out. Because you have seen God work. And for the Christian, there's nothing more empowering, there's nothing more joyful, there's nothing more fulfilling than to know you've allowed God to work through you. That's up here. That's up here. That's why a lot of times in my preaching or whatever, I've come to the pulpit with a sermon and just said no. God's just said no. You don't preach that sermon. You do this. And you just say, okay. You always know what's best. And then you do that, and then God just blows the doors off, and you see what works. You say, wow, God, I'm so glad I didn't do what I would have done because I see what you can do. So that's Holy Spirit. Never be afraid to let the Spirit of God teach you, lead you, guide you in your decisions and your walk and everything that you do. Because those will be the greatest experiences in your life till you get to heaven. Amen. Okay, Kevin. Anybody that hadn't given, thank you. Anybody that hadn't given for Brother Trad's retirement, we took up an offering last Sunday. And if you weren't here and didn't get a chance to give towards the church is giving him an offering for his retirement because of the service he's done to the church all these years, you can give it to Brother Kevin, and he'll make sure that it gets to the right place. And we want to give you that opportunity if you hadn't already given. So Brother Kevin will be here available for you to do that. Yes? Waldo Baptist Church, just write Trad's retirement on it for four. And if you want to write two, you can put Jack Russell on there. Just teasing. Let's pray together before I get in trouble. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for just letting us share intimately in the Word of God and realize what an awesome, sovereign, almighty God you truly are. Bless Nate and Leslie and the family to get out of North Carolina and arrive here safely. Bless Trad and Cammy and their family in this next chapter of their life. And we pray for the service to follow, that you might send the Holy Spirit in this, such a fashion, in this way, that nobody here will be able to leave lost. That the Spirit of God will come down and fall on this place and work in power and glory. Thank you for giving us yourself in the person of the Holy Spirit to always lead us, guide us, lift us, and help us, and love us. We thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.